Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, folks. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and I am not in back in our studio inside Renaissance Bank, but we hope to be back someday soon. But in the meantime, folks, Renaissance is open for business, and they're open to particularly businesses that want a more personal experience than what they're accustomed to with their big mega bank. So if that's what you're looking for, go to renaissancebank.com, find one of the local offices that's in and around not just the Georgia area, but around the South, over 200 ready to serve you. Give them a call, make an appointment. That's how you get in the door, and they're happy to see you. You don't have to be a bank customer to make an appointment. And you can also go through the drive-through and get a whole lot done there. I can tell you that firsthand. They're great folks. Highly recommend them. Renaissance Bank at renaissancebank.com. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Sorrel Katan. And Sorrel is the CEO of ExecuFit and a Visage Chair. Sorrel, welcome.
Good morning, John. It's great to be with you. I want to acknowledge the work that you're doing in North Fulton for businesses and your listeners, as well as your sponsors. So thank you for the work you do, and thank you for who you are in the community.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. But let's get to you, a much more interesting topic than me. I want to know, tell folks that don't know you a little bit about you and how you're serving your community and your marketplace out there.
Well, thank you for that question. So the name earlier offline, John was saying how jealous he was that I have a unique name.
I know there's a ton of John Rays around, but not many Sorrel Katans. So you're one of a kind, and I love it. So tell us about how helpful you are.
Katan is the name, and that name is Haitian.
Yeah.
I was born and raised in Haiti and came to the States in 77. And though I left Haiti, I never really left. Mm. I spent a fair amount of time as the chair of the Georgia Haitian American Chamber of Commerce, as well as a board director at Haiti Outreach, serving Haiti inside of the context of an impossible promise I made in 1999. And that promise is that Haiti is a developed nation in my lifetime. So you're asked the question, who am I and how I serve in the community? While, you know, I introduce myself always first as a husband to Susan Katan, Marcel,
right,
Marcus and Marlon. I have three men in my life.
Mm.
I love them dearly, and I'm forever grateful for the space that they create so I can be a contributor not only to my country and my community here, but also a contributor to business owners and CEOs of businesses who say they are committed to something bigger than themselves. And want to have the opportunity to stay connected to that. You know, it's in the world we live in as human beings, it's not uncommon for me or you or many others to get sucked into the achievement of a specific goal, big or small. Mm. And then before you know it, you're just another person achieving big goals, and you're completely disconnected to anything that really matters to you. So one of the ways I assist in business as the CEO of ExecuFit and a Vistas chair is I say to my clients, who are my friends and my partners, in continuing to cause the expansion of the impossible promise that I make for Haiti, I see that impossible promise also being a promise that I make to the community at large, that the very people who are the employees, the very people who are the vendors or the clients of my clients, the CEOs, the owners, and the founders of businesses around Atlanta, that through these CEOs, there's the potential, John, of touching the employees, touching the vendors, touching the clients, like the ripple effect of just going beyond growing. Is that growing a business is not for the sake of growing the business. Growing a business is for the sake of having a monumental impact on family, employees, and the community at large. So if my wildest dreams are fulfilled, my name will never be mentioned anywhere. And yet, the CEOs I serve, the business owners and the founders I serve, or the executive directors of not-for-profit organizations I serve, their names may not be mentioned either. But the multitude of employees and communities and others that they serve will have a quality of life that is unequivocally not just better, but like the quality of life that every human being wants, whether you're an employee, a vendor, or a client. So long-winded answer, John, but that's really who I am. I wake up and I anchor myself to that promise. And then I say, what's next? And what's next may be scheduled or not. But what's next, I work to have what's next be driven by the promise.
Now, a lot there for us to unpack, but I'd like to make sure we cover ExecuFit and Vistage. And Vistage is a fairly well-known name for most people, but for those that don't know Vistage, why don't you explain Vistage and then, of course, your own company, ExecuFit?
Awesome. Vistage is an organization that's been around for over 60 years. And as a professional, a CEO myself, I benefited immensely from a peer advisory board when I first started my business. I myself was a member of a peer advisory board for over 4 years. And I got to take my business from a fledgling three-employee, two trucks, working out of a clubhouse to now a 52-employee organization serving the state of Georgia, serving the state of Virginia, and Chattanooga, Tennessee. That company is QM3 Utility Services. That company is now being run by my wife, who's the CEO, Susan Gall-Kitan. And I mentioned that company because it is the space and the foundation that makes it possible for me to now be ExecuFit and create an entity that says, I exist to serve high-integrity CEOs, owners, and founders who say they are committed to something bigger than themselves and are looking for partnership to sustain that connection and have that connection serve the world. So ExecuFit exists for that. And one of the ways that I saw possible to make that happen for CEOs and founders is to get them to connect to something that I call the magic and power of the collective. And peer advisory boards happens to be an effective way to tap into the magic and power of the collective. So when I and ExecuFit looked around, it made sense to partner with an organization like Vistage, who's been in the business of studying CEO performance through peer advisory boards for over 60 years. So Vistage is that organization that specializes in that, and ExecuFit is the organization that is fortunate to be a partner of Vistage, providing myself as a chair for peer advisory boards in the Atlanta area.
Now, before we came on the air, Sorrel, we were talking about ExecuFit and your previous work before Vistage and how you've run peer groups, advisory groups for many years. And I asked you, why Vistage if you've been doing it on your own before? And I thought you had a really good answer. I'd love if you'd share that with folks.
Yeah, yes, indeed. And as I mentioned to you earlier, the power and magic of the collective applies to everyone. And one of the things that as a chair, I really cherish is the community of other chairs, a group of individuals who, yeah, we're in business to make a living. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We're not really driven by that. So I'm lucky enough to have a group of people who wake up every morning and say, you know what? We are those men and women who live in the world and traffic in the world as the source of empowerment and the space inside of which CEOs, founders, and business owners can create for themselves an environment that gets them to succeed over time. So why Vistage? The community of chairs who exist. It's kind of like the Knights of the Round Table, literally. and also the community of CEOs and founders who are members of Vistage peer groups. They're like brothers and sisters. Mm. And I say this, I don't want to make it significant, and I don't say it lightly either. One of the characteristics of a peer group is the following, not one, I'll say four of the characteristics, right? It's awesome to be in a group of caring individuals. And by caring, I mean this. As a human being, I'm always what's in it for me. And when I can be with that as an innate human trait that I don't condemn or make wrong, I can actually go beyond it to really be caring. And what I mean by caring is to be present for the sake of making a difference for another. Mm. Bringing my expertise, my experience, and my network as gifts that I bear to the collective. And in that sense, I do tell prospective members of my peer advisory boards, if you can come to our space and be caring and be there to be a contribution to others, guess what? You don't have to worry. Because 12 to 15 others will be there to do just that for you. So in surrendering to the collective by bringing your oneself as a gift to the collective, you get way more than you can ever imagine. So that's the first characteristic that really attracted me to the space of chairs and the space of Vistage members.
I want you to continue in a second, but I want to just quickly jump in here because this is counterintuitive, right? That you give, right? and it's hard sometimes for people, even when they want to try to internalize that thought that you give in order to get or to receive. In some way, right? I mean, talk more about that.
It's even more counterintuitive than that. In the collective that I imagine, John, mm-hmm. I am, you are, each and every is the collective. And in that sense, my access to the collective may be, and I'm just speculating on this, may be my relinquishing my own individuality, like my own self. Like it, so when I come bearing my expertise and my experience and my network as gifts, it's not that the collective needs it. Because guess what? The collective has everything it needs. So in that sense, minor correction, it's not giving to get. It's giving just for the sake of giving.
That's not a minor correction. That's a big one right there.
It is giving just for the sake of giving.
Right.
Because when you, when as a CEO, when I come to my company and I am that my employees, my clients, my vendors, and myself are one. And that what I need, I get from them. What they need, they get from me. It's not a kind of give and take. It's that, oh, it's all in the pool. We get access to it. So it is totally counterintuitive. But man, when engaged that way, there is access to something beyond just giving for the sake of getting something in return. And it's something to be experienced as opposed to something to be explained. And Vistage chairs and Vistage members will tell you that year after year, month after month of participating in an environment that's nurtured and sustained that way creates the kind of opportunities for their companies to grow. The research from Dun and Bradstreet shows that CEOs and founders who operate that way and participate as members enjoy a 2.2 times faster growth rate than their peers in the same industries.
Well, let's just stop there and underline that. 2.5 times faster growth.
2.2.
Two times. So double the growth rate.
Double the growth rate of their peers in the same industries.
So if your industry is growing at 6%, you go to a Vistage group, you're more likely to hit 12% for your business.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And guess what? Counterintuitive, it's going to demand that as a CEO, as a founder, as a human being, that you transform yourself to access that kind of growth. Because growing that way is also counterintuitive. Meaning, you know, we don't have to knock MBA schools and we don't have to knock the knowledge that we have. But as an individual CEO, there's only so much that you can do yourself with your company, with your accountant, with your finance department, with your IT department to grow. The kind of innovative and out-of-the-box ideas that will accelerate growth in a way that you can't imagine now comes from a collective of peers, 12 to 15 of them. No one member is from the same industry. I work really hard to create a very diverse environment, diverse in experience, diverse in ethnicity, diverse in education, diverse in background, diverse in age, and certainly diverse in industry. And each other gives the permission to be confrontational, to confront what you already know for sure, that just ain't so. And to see something beyond what you already know that provides access to a way of operating or new service or new product that takes your company beyond where it is now. So that's the second aspect of being in a peer group that makes it so rich. As a CEO, guess what? You're the top dog and you're the lead dog. Mm-hmm. Nobody questions you. Nobody evaluates your performance. Nobody tells you what to do. And when it comes time for you to deal with a decision that's going to impact the trajectory of the company, more often than not, CEOs and founders are alone in making that decision. And if they could get advice or input or feedback from an internal source, it's very unlikely that that kind of feedback would be unbiased. So to be in a group of peers who've been there, done that, and are just like you, and make a pact with you to be in your face and confront you and to force you to grow beyond any rut that you've become stuck in is essential to the growth of a CEO and the kind of growth that companies experience as chairs. And then there are two more characteristics. The next one is being vulnerable. Now, you talked about counterintuitive earlier, and I'm thinking that mostly in business circles, the word vulnerable rarely comes up. And yet, when you look at a CEO, a founder, she or he is the same human being at home as they are in the company with their clients and with their peers. So to have an issue that's impacting you as an individual and think that that issue is not impacting the business is ludicrous. So there is a huge amount of vulnerability that a confidential, closed environment affords a CEO, such that the CEO can actually get that conversation that's needed to go beyond something that's impacting performance that has nothing to do with competence as a professional or knowledge or structures and systems in the company. So there's that aspect that really was just so attractive to me. And last but not least, wild and crazy folks just exploring the unknown. Mm-hmm. And that happens in two ways. As a chair, I don't act as a consultant. So I don't tell the CEOs what to do. I'm the guy who gets the privilege to ask really stupid, dumb, off-the-cuff questions that force people to look in a direction maybe they've never looked, and that's in the direction of something they know is true, and they're willing to confront that maybe it's not, for the sake of seeing and having another point of view. In a nutshell, that is why Vistage for me, and that is why ExecuFit. And there is a lot of science that undergirds the whole thing. I'll pause here and see if you have any questions. Yeah. And then I'd love to tell you how it actually works.
Yeah. So, folks, we're here with Sorrel Katan, and Sorrel is the CEO of ExecuFit and a Vistage chair. Sorrel, what I'd like to get to is, I guess, a couple of things. One is to talk about the kind of, you mentioned qualitatively, the kind of folks that are really good fits for a Vistage board seat. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about what you do to make sure you get the right folks, because that's really the key to
that
making
really the key, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, right. That's the key to making it, because you're vetting them as much as they're vetting you.
That is correct,
right? And then talk a little bit about how just the practicalities of it. You know, how, when you meet, how you meet, how you communicate with each other on that board, that kind of thing.
Awesome. Awesome. So we'll take it in two steps. Mm-hmm. And let's first cover the vetting or mutual selection process. And it is really a mutual selection process. So as I approach founders, CEOs, and others, it's really wide open and clear that this is not a sales pitch. This is the opening for an invitation to participate in a conversation. A conversation designed to grow your company faster, easier, and with a lot less risk. And it's a mutual selection process. So the process goes like this. The first invitation is an invitation to simply have a conversation. And in that conversation, I lean heavily on the about statement that's published on my LinkedIn page. I spent a fair amount of time crafting that, not with the aim of making it perfect, but with the aim of really striving to communicate to CEOs and founders who I am. Because I'm a firm believer that if you read that and you have a conversation with me and you get a sense for who I am, the first mutual selection criterion is, if we're going to spend a whole day, a month together, plus 2 hours one-to-one, well, you better like or be able to put up with this, who I am, because you're going to get a whole lot of it. So that's the first stage of the mutual selection process. So during that first meeting, I'll share myself, learn a whole bunch more about the business of the CEO or founder. And if at that point there's a mutual interest, we'll continue and go to the next stage. And at none of these stages, this is a four-stage process. At none of these stages, am I asking the CEO to join, or is the CEO even permitted to join? There's no such thing. So the second phase is something we call an information exchange. It's a confidential process where the CEO will answer a number of questions. I'll answer a number of questions. And in the end, we end up in a space where both are able to assess the return on the investment. And if at that stage there still is interest, the CEO is invited to experience a Vistage meeting. That way, the CEO gets to meet the other peer members, gets to experience the whole process, which I'll cover in a little bit to give you the practicalities of it. And if there still is interest after that, then we go to what we call a selection interview. And it's not a selection interview where I'm selecting you. It's a selection interview where we're selecting each other. The mutual selection process is still ongoing. So it is that space where the real return on investment is tested with real numbers based on the key issues facing the CEO in that moment. Mm. And if at that point there still is interest and I deem it a fit, I'll extend an invitation. And that invitation is a real invitation, meaning it's open to be declined or accepted. If the invitation's accepted, then it's the kind of pact that we create. And at that point, the CEO chooses to become a member of my peer advisory board.
Awesome. Now, as we come near the end of our time together, let's talk about how that works on an ongoing basis. I mean, once you have this invitation, you accept it. You come on your board. What happens after that?
On an ongoing basis, this is how the game's played. And the game is on the court. I refer to it as the game because it's on the court. We meet with a group of 12 to 16 CEOs once a month for an entire day. Now, that's critical. Mostly CEOs are busy and they go, oh my God, I can't take an entire day. Well, guess what? Part and parcel of the growth that CEOs experience and their companies experience has to do with the time that they take to work on their business. Mm-hmm. Think strategically. That one day a month works like this. For the first 3 to 4 hours of the day, I bring in an industry expert focusing on either leadership, talent management, marketing, you name it. But the issue is not random. It's germane to what the group needs based on their individual plans and where they're maybe stuck and are looking for innovative and new information to inject into the business. When that workshop ends, we close the doors and it's just us, myself and the CEOs, and we create, based on a proprietary approach that we bring to the table, the space where issues that they're dealing with bubble up. We select 4 to 5 issues to process, and the whole process creates the space where tapping into the magic and power of the collective is made possible. Each CEO gets to ask clarification questions. Each CEO gets to make recommendations, and the CEO whose issue is being processed walks away with an action plan, but not alone.
Right.
He or she walks away with 12 to 15 others, including myself, as accountability partners. And that happens month after month after month, with the opportunity to now take action, learn, take action, learn, and grow. And once a month, each CEO also meets with me on a monthly basis for 2 hours. I act as their trusted advisor and coach and mentor, the person who asks those questions that cause you to look in a place you've never looked. And that's how it goes on a monthly basis. Now, there's two types of investment. There's the investment in time, once a month for an entire day, once a month, 2 hours with me, and once a year, when we're live, our meetings are virtual right now. Once a year, when we're live, one of the members will host the meeting. On top of that investment, there's also the financial investment. There is a enrollment fee and a monthly membership dues. Those are the practicalities of it, and that's the way it works.
Good words here from Sorrel Catan, and he's a Vistage chair and has his own firm, ExecuFit. Sorrel, this has been great, and we could go on for some time, but I'm
good. We're going to cut it off right
here.
Right?
Well, yeah, I'm mindful of I want to get to the important question, because I'm sure there's some folks that have heard this that may be interested in being in touch. So let's get to the really important question, how they can do that. So why don't you provide that for them?
Well, it's real easy. My first name is Sorrel. That's S-A-U-R-E-L. I'll repeat that. S-A-U-R-E-L. If you take my name and you text my name to the number 21,000, you'll receive a link. When you click on that link, you'll get everything. My website, my social media handles, a way to call me, my email address, and most importantly, the opportunity to click on a button and schedule 30 minutes with me so we may have a conversation. So text my first name, Sorrel, S-A-U-R-E-L, to the number 21,000.
Sorrel Catan, folks. Sorrel, it's been a pleasure having you.
It's been a pleasure being here, John.
Thank you so much.
I look forward to another conversation with you.
Me too. Thank you.
All right.
Folks, just a quick reminder before we wrap up here that we have a good friend over at Office Angels, S.E. Escobedo, who can help you with all your administrative tasks, bookkeeping, marketing services, because she's got a whole team of angels that she goes and selects the best one for you based on your problem. So be in touch with her. You can go to officeangels.us, and you can also give her a call at 770-442-9246. Explain your problem, and she can help you out. And as I said, I use her, and she's terrific. Also, before we wrap up here, we have a North Fulton Business Radio is the search term for any of the major podcast apps. And I said any of them because we're on all of them, folks. So you can find us there, Apple, Spotify, Google, whatever you use. And you can find this show and others. So we'd love if you'd subscribe. And we love if you give us a great review, because those reviews help folks find the show. And that helps folks like Sorrell and others that have been on the show. So that would be great. And also connect with us on social media, North Fulton BRX on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. So for my guest, Sorrell Catan, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.